You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Monday, 6th of December, I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, we're chatting with Theresa, CEO, on some really strong results. And I also want to touch on the outlook for PGMs. Rolf Thomas from SIM on the post-pandemic growth, even as we have the new variant. Petli Radenhuis from Herenia on how do we trade through the holidays? What about the seasonality that happens there? The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. MTI liquidators chasing down an additional $2 billion in possible debitors. This is on top of the $1 billion they already got back from the Belize broker FX Choice. And the thing is that the Bitcoin that they're finding is all just worth a whole lot more than when the whole scam collapsed. Business Times, former unionist Johnny Coplin bets on Wild Coast oil and gas bonanza. That's burying the lead. Impact Oil and Gas, which has got HCI as a largest beneficial shareholder, is the ones who with Shell doing that testing off the Wild Coast right now. Morning markets, US was red on Friday, S&P down 0.8 and NASDAQ down 1.7. Asia red this morning, Sydney a couple of points down, Tokyo down 0.6. Commodities mostly green, gold 1786, Brent 7133, palladium 1,807. Rand, 1,605. Top 40, 150 points up. That's, just over 0.2%. That is 10 cent trades down, just over 2% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Petli Radenhuis, founder of Herenia Capital Advisors. Petli, appreciate your time this morning. We're heading into, it's sort of slow down season in the markets. We'll still see some volumes going through this week. Next week, it's really quiet. And then after the public holiday on Thursday, futures close out and stuff, volumes really disappear. I've always taken the view that for me, this is fine. I take my holidays and I ignore the trading. Is that what yourself as a professional trader does, or do you sweat through it?
Good morning. Historically, I would kind of sweat through it because I think sometimes there are some bigger opportunities and more volatile, slightly less liquid markets. But That's not really something for someone who doesn't have the ability to sit in front of their computers and watch price action all day, right? So For the most part, it's probably better to step away. And this year, that's definitely what I'll be doing. It's been a long, hard 2 years of lockdown, and I think a little bit of a break is necessary. So I like you mentioned, I expect markets are going to be relatively liquid, relatively quiet. We know that there's that seasonality bias, that sort of after the second week of December, there is a bullish bias to markets. Potentially as just institutional money flows in, and there aren't many, a lot of the volume on a global scale really sort of dries up, and that just grinds markets slightly higher over time, and that sort of happens with some sort of predictability, right? It's happened sort of 80% of the Christmas times over the last couple of years, so it's a fairly safe assumption that it's going to happen again.
Yeah, so we get almost that. It's what a lot of folks will talk around, call it a bit of a Santa rally. But I take your point. It's not Santa. It's actually that low liquidity. And I see. I always close positions. Price action and the like. But it's Christmas. It's been a long 2 years. I want to go and put my feet up. We'll leave it there. Petli Radenhuis, Herenia Capital Advisors. Appreciate the time this morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money.
Chatting now with Fevus Pirulis, CEO of Theresa. Results for the year end September: revenue up 46.9%. HEPS up 126.6%. Dividend, 9 cents for the full year. That's up 157%. Net cash, 46.6 billion. Fevus, appreciate the early morning time. A really, really strong set of results. Part of this, obviously, is the PGM basket price. But part of this also seems to be efficiencies and improvements in your mining. You did a redesign back in 2019, and you're sort of seeing sort of better mining conditions and abilities through the group.
Morning, Simon. Yes, I couldn't agree more. I think the effort, energy and investment that we put into reconfiguring our open pit, investing in people, investing in capital, yellow mining fleet, and just reverting back to first principles in terms of our mining plan and strategy to create that sustainable long life open pit at a competitive cost advantage is really bearing fruit now. And we've seen on literally every metric us outperforming the prior year and setting ourselves up already for a very strong new financial year with us improving those efficiencies in the fourth quarter of that financial year. So very pleasing on all fronts.
And very much, I mean, you know, we kind of, I mentioned in my intro there, we're kind of learning to live with the pandemic. We've got new variants, but that I imagine has become very much just a way of life. I mean, you know, safety and worker safety has always been a part of mining.
Absolutely, and it's one of our core values, and very pleased to have celebrated 6 years fatality free this year, as well as having one of the lowest injury frequency rates in the industry. And you would have picked up on the headlines, you know, safety hasn't been at its best in South Africa at all, and numerous fatalities around. So something we're very focused on and aware that it can change very quickly. So we're not complacent at all, and any injury is one too many. So it is a core value for us, and we maintain vigilance around that. Coming to the new variant, yes, it is you know, part of life. Unfortunately, you know, we have recorded, you know, over 10 active cases at the moment, but we have all the systems and all the investment we put in through the various waves of the pandemic, and they put us in a position to manage it effectively. Being an open pit mine, we naturally have social distancing inherent in our operation, so it's easier for us than sending, you know, thousands of people underground in a confined space. So we benefit from that as well.
Your average prices, which you got over the period, I mean, your rhodium was, you know, over 19,000. But if I go back to the 2020 prices, rhodium was, you know, just over 8,000. It's now sort of sitting around 14,000. Platinum was in 2020, 876. It's now around 900. Palladium back in 2020 was just over 2,000. It's now around 1,800. If we're looking at the previous year, prices are down, but your basket's more or less actually what you were in previous.
Yeah, so I think, you know, we saw extremely high prices in the first half of the year. Our average PGM basket price hitting $4,000 an ounce for that first half, and then an average of $3,000 for the full year, and now trading at around $2,400 an ounce, albeit with a weaker exchange rate, which obviously benefits us as an exporter in dollars. So, you know, we still see strength in the PGM basket, and if we look at it over the historic average, it's considerably higher than what we've witnessed, as you mentioned, you know, just looking at that rhodium price. And the truth of the matter is these products are essential in the life that we live today. You know, we talk about future electrification, and we buy into it, and we believe there's huge potential and opportunity for the metals that we mine to play a vital role in that decarbonization strategy. But over the medium term, the internal combustion engine needs to be cleaner, and that means more PGM loadings. And we've had a bit of a setback due to chip shortages in the supply chain and general disruption to the supply chain. But I think it is temporary, and it will be resolved. And that pent-up demand we'll see support for strong PGM prices.
Yeah, that pent-up demand, all those people who wanted vehicles. Do you have any insight to that? Every time I chat with a vehicle retailer or one of the manufacturers, I always get said it'll resolve in 6 months. And with respect, I've been being told that now for a year and a half. I mean, is there any visibility, or is it a case of it will resolve, we're not quite sure when?
Well, I mean, you just have to look at the massive investment that's going into chip manufacturing facilities globally. You know, talking tens of billions of dollars. And, you know, by all indications and general view, and I don't have a crystal ball on this, is that second half of 2022 is when, you know, most people believe that there will be a normality in the supply chain, maybe with backlog still being fulfilled. But yeah, our expectations are that second half of 2022.
Okay. Your chrome concentrate, and obviously you've commissioned your new plant, but that was after year end, so it's not in these results at all. But the concentrate, is that exporting out to China? And then the question is, how are you finding that supply chain?
Yeah, so 75% of our production on the chrome front ends up in stainless steel, which is a China-centric story, and ends up in Indonesia and China. And, you know, the big challenge there has been on the logistics front, you know, getting material to end users cost effectively. We've seen unbelievable increases in freight rates, which has impacted our margins and continues to look fairly strong going into this new financial year in terms of those high freight rates, coupled with the fact that we've had have our own domestic logistics challenges around rail and port. So just by anecdotally, we've moved in 2020 70% of our cargo by rail to Richards Bay and Durban, and in 2021 we moved 70% by road. So a complete flip, and that tells you the story in one statistic, really. And our preference is obviously to move bulk by rail, just far simpler and more efficient. You know, there are numerous task teams working with Transnet to try and resolve the bottlenecks and the constraints, and we're hopeful that between industry and government we will, you know, find some form of resolution.
A last question. You mentioned that. Carry on.
Yeah, just in terms of that Vulcan plant, Simon, I mean, it's a really exciting project for us. It's a technology we developed in-house. We funded internally. It was almost a billion rand project from those strong cash flows that we enjoyed this last year. And we're busy commissioning this quarter, first production now in December. And really what it does is it will be the first time that ultra-fine chrome that typically is thrown onto a waste dump is recovered. So it really has an exciting benefit to us on multiple fronts. It brings us down the cost curves. It reduces our carbon footprint per unit of product that we produce. So all in all, a really, really neat project.
Yeah, a really great project. We chatted, I think it was early October, around that. Last question is around Life of Mine, which, as you said, it's an open pit mine, but you've extended it. You've managed to find another sort of 7 years. In other words, running you to 2041, another two decades out.
Yeah, I mean, this is a massive value boost to our project. You know, if you look at the scramble for resources and our peers, you know, bidding over the odds for acquiring assets, this really is a 50% extension of our life of open pit. It takes us to another 20 years open pit life at no additional capital cost. So we don't need to invest billions of rands to continue mining at the current rate. We just extend. We continue progressing our open pit for a further 7 years. And importantly, also, it allows us to transition to the underground mining in a phased approach. In other words, we would have 50% of our production coming from underground, 50% from open pit, which reduces the risk, the transition risk, and also the capital at that point in time. So very value accretive in terms of the value of the Theresa mine.
We'll leave that there. That's Theresa CEO Phoevos Pouroulis talking those results. And that's our question today on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles. Very strong results. A platinum miner trading just off the all-time highs for those year-end September. Are you investing in PGM miners even as the white metal weakens a bit? You look at those numbers. This was a breakout year, but you know, next year is going to probably be second best. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At StanLib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Rolf Thomas, co-portfolio manager of the Sim Balanced Fund. Post-pandemic growth, we are back in another wave, but certainly the data suggests we are, as a planet, sort of learning to live with pandemic, and certainly we are moving through it. Rolf, appreciate the time from you this morning. Notwithstanding new variants, which are certainly spooking, we are certainly living with the pandemic. We're learning to manage it in our lives, and you're suggesting this is actually giving some good growth potential as we look forward to 2022.
Good morning, Simon. Yes. Well, Simon, you know, we're used to very different worlds to operate in than the one we are right now. And everybody says, you know, we're learning to cope with the virus. I'm not too sure markets are really in that sort of space either. They're still learning to try and understand these risks. And all we're seeing sort of month on month is not an increase in asset prices necessarily, but definitely an increase in uncertainty. You know, with respect to outlooks, it's a very, very difficult game to forecast, and it's increasingly more difficult to forecast in a shadowy, uncertain world that we live in. Mm-hmm. But there are, if you look at certain fundamentals, there are definitely some sort of, I wouldn't like to say green shoots, but there's still evidence that that growth still exists. And obviously there is the concern about inflation, global inflation, that will sort of upset that whole apple cart.
And you make the point in the note that I saw that it is in a fair part, and it often is. It's a lot of it's around actually asset allocation and being in the right places. You mentioned in inflation rising, and I imagine that might see you certainly revisiting and perhaps even tweaking those allocations.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's as multi-asset asset allocators managing multi-asset funds. I mean, asset allocation is one of the big, you know, tools that we have to generate wealth over the long term. You know, looking at the situation right now with inflation where it is, you know, the concerns about, you know, this massive global bond rally that we've had over a number of decades leading to US yields, you know, dropping almost to single digits not too long ago. You know, this is the big dislocation, because obviously if there's one, I've always maintained that, you know, if there's one instrument or one security that I would be able to track, if I was allowed to track, it would be the US bond yield, and given where that is effectively the pillar asset that reprices all other assets. And now you're seeing equity prices, you know, maintaining very high ratings, supported by extremely expensive bonds or very, very low bond yields. Now, when inflation enters this picture, it sort of distorts that view of what will happen to that U.S. bond yield, the short-term and as well as the long-term rates in the U.S. And when we have corrections there, that's what sort of has a knock-on effect on all other asset classes. So yes, quite right. You know, asset allocation is an important tool, and you've got to take cognizance not of just the current situation that we're in, but exactly how we sort of come out of this. And of course, Simon, we've got this additional pillar that nobody's used to, and this is this massive stimulus driver that is really, you know, pulling things away from more fundamental measures that we typically look at.
You said up front that at top of the interview that you know, unprecedented times is an overused phrase these days, but it is kind of where we are. You also made the note I saw talking about emotional resilience. It's been roller coaster for markets and the different parts. And yes, U.S. equities had a great run and the like, and we've seen good value returns in South Africa. But it's been a wild a year and a bit. And I suppose it comes to that point around green shoots is that we as asset managers, you as asset managers, are perhaps getting better at the whole process as well, and understanding sort of how the pandemic is impacting.
Absolutely. I mean, emotional resilience is an important factor. It's always been an important factor. I don't think it's more important than it is right now. I think that the other thing that is markedly different around the time that we currently operate in is the frequency of noise that we get in our lives. And that's both as investors, but as also as professional investors. Yeah. And I'm talking about our clients as well as ourselves. unfortunately, you know, we pick up the newspaper and there's a lot of sensationalizing around, and in some cases rightly so. But, you know, it's, you know, new vaccine or, you know, vaccine concerns, and oh, there's a new variant and there's another lockdown, and it's just this overwhelming amount of often negative news that just is exhausting. And it's so important that as professional investors, we don't get sucked into that whole world of, you know, high frequency reactionary investing. And that is why I mentioned in our Inside Active Salam Investment Series that it's so important to have emotional resilience alongside, you know, the usual tools that everybody thinks that an asset manager uses of, you know, sort of hedging and asset mm-hmm. allocation, because you do need to weather these storms and you need to think rationally through every situation as opposed to reacting within the situation. And often our clients don't really understand that because they're sucked into that noise and they're like, you know, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? And if we had to trade on every event, my goodness, that would be a very, very different outcome for a lot of funds that we're entrusted with.
No, I take your point. And I suppose at the end of the day, we come through the pandemic, we come through it better. We come through it better investors if we have sort of invested in that emotional resilience, because as you say, things have been wild out there. Rolf Thomas, co-portfolio manager of the SIM Balanced Fund, appreciate the time this morning. That's it for today. Our poll on Friday, we're chatting with Lau Sankoff from PSG Asset Management about inflation and about adjusting your portfolio. And we asked you if you have or will be or are looking at. Almost two-thirds of you said, yep, I have or I will soon be making adjustments because of that rising inflation. And then almost 40% of you said, no, you're happy as you are. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nabuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.